Welcome to the Becoming a Streamer podcast by Pipeline, where we interview your favorite streamers and learn about their journey to where they are today. I'm your host and co-founder of Pipeline, Snoopy. Today, I'm joined by Raya Stream, one of the most popular simulator streamers in the world. And I didn't know much about simulation streaming before meeting Raya, but I was absolutely blown away. He was a truck driver for over 15 years that just over a year ago decided to start live streaming. He found his audience on Facebook, and in just 4 months, he was able to go full-time and now has over 100,000 followers. If you love the episode, please make sure you share it with a friend. So, Raya, I'm not a simulation streamer, nor do I really play any simulation games, but watching your masterclass in Pipeline absolutely blew my mind at how crazy your setup is. It gave me a deep appreciation for what you do, and I'm so glad to have you on today.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I do appreciate it. And trust me, it's an honor to talk to you as well. I love the Pipeline organization, and I actually get a lot of questions about it as well. So I always totally recommend it.
Cool.
It is incredible.
So before we dive, too deep into your journey and how you got to where you are today, I'd love just to give the audience some context on where you are. So most of them are new streamers or aspiring streamers. So just some context. How often are you streaming? Where are you streaming? How many people is like your average audience size? Just so they can get a gauge of where you're at in your journey.
Right now I stream 5 days a week, usually six. I do Monday through Friday, and I also try to do two streams a day, at least three or four times a week right now. I would like to do more, but my voice simply can't handle it since I talk way too much, according to some people. But yeah, that's about as much as I can do. Probably I do about 9 or 10 streams a week. So yeah.
9 or 10 streams a week. Wow.
Yeah.
Also on top of that, are you making content outside of your streams? Or do you ever like create any VOD content or?
A lot of the content I create as far as like clip, it's usually just like clips and stuff that I take from my live streams. Cause a lot of times, most of my energy goes into those lives. So most of the good content is in those lives. Yeah, cool. That's how I do it.
And you're on Facebook primarily, right?
Yeah. Just Facebook. Yep.
Cool. So I want to wind the clock right back, all the way to young Raya Stream.
Young Raya Stream.
Just to try and get an idea of like what led you to where you are today. Like, how did you get into gaming, or even like, where did you grow up?
I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, born and raised here. And I've been a truck driver. I didn't do great in school. So I was like, do I really want to try to go to college and do an office job and the 9-to-5 thing? And, that's what my parents wanted me to do. And I was just kind of like that kid who was like, I don't want to do anything my parents want me to do. So I got into driving, and I've always been into like vehicles and planes, trains, cars, trucks, buses, everything like that since I was a kid. And so I got into truck driving. My girlfriend at the time, I was driving buses. Let's back up a little bit. I was driving access buses. I don't know if you ever heard of what buses are.
I have. I don't know what an access bus is. And what age are you and tell me what it is, but then also what age are you at this point?
I was 18. I was 18 years old. I was a young kid. And I don't know why they gave me a job driving access buses, but they did. So I was driving basically just running people to appointments, like doctor's appointments, the elderly, getting them stuff like that. Wheelchair vans. And my girlfriend at the time, she was just like, well, I did that up until I was about 21 years old. And when I turned 21, my girlfriend at the time was like, maybe you should get a real job. And I'm like, well, what's a real job, So I looked through the paper and I found an ad for a truck driving company that was paying to get you your truck driving license, your CDL. And when I found that and I was like, what about this? And she was like, okay, well, I became a truck driver, trained for it. About 3 months in, she dumped me because she didn't want me. She didn't like that I was on the road all the time.
So, but you went and got the real job. Was that not what you were meant to do?
That's exactly what she wanted. I got it because she was suggesting it, and then she left me. So I was stuck on the road as an over the road truck driver for like a year because I signed a contract with them. That was part of the deal. They'll get you your CDL, but you got to work for them for a year. So that's how I got into it. And after that year was up, I went local and I started being home every day and stuff like that. So that's how I got into trucking.
So I know trucking is one of the most popular jobs. Is it maybe even the most popular in the US?
I think it's like, I don't want to give any false information here, but I think it's like 9% of the workforce or something. It's massive.
It is. It's wild. Yeah. I remember some of the stats coming out, right? Like when it was, you know, the whole talk of automation and what it would do and things like that.
Yeah. It's a very unseen profession because literally it's just trucks on the road. You're not hearing about it. You're just basically take a lot of people take it for granted, but you know, it's an absolutely vital part of society.
And what did your days look like? Were you super excited by your job, or were you looking for more? Like what? Because you were a truck driver for a while, right?
Yeah, the thing about it was I didn't like being away from home so much that first year that I was over the road, but I loved the technical aspect. I loved like machinery. And the way I kind of worked was like every time I learned something, I was kind of done with it. So when I became a truck driver, I started wanting to move on to like other things, you know, and it just became more of a job than an interest. But I always loved the actual like technical aspect of it. I love the fact, you know, when getting in a clutch, pushing in that parking brake, you know, the air rush of the valves, and then, you know, letting out the clutch and feeling the truck go. Like, I love that kind of stuff, the technical machinery part of it. But being away from home sucks. So, yeah.
Yeah. So how much of you being a truck driver, because you for 15 years, you were a truck driver, how much did that play into you deciding what you're going to do next?
Well, it was 100%. I mean, the whole entire reason I found simulation games is because I was a truck driver and because I had that interest. I've been a gamer since I was a kid, you know, Super Nintendo. I played all the AAA titles, GTA, Mario, you know, I had all the game systems and stuff like that. So I had a huge interest in gaming, but I didn't know about the wonderful world of PC gaming and all the extra stuff. You know, I was a console gamer. So all the extra stuff that comes with PC gaming that isn't mainstream, I had no idea existed. And I think, you know, just from being a truck driver, I think it popped up on maybe my suggested videos on YouTube. I found a guy, can I say his name?
Yeah, go for it.
YouTuber, Jeff Favignano. He's one of the top simulation YouTubers, and he's just a master of what he did. And I watched a video that he did on American Truck Simulator that just popped up on my YouTube, you know, and I was immediately, I was like, how does this exist? Like, this is a game where this is my job. Like, how is this a game? How is this fun for somebody? And the more I watched it, the more I was like, I think I got about 15 minutes in that video. And I was like, I have to have this. I have to get a PC now.
It's so interesting because you're a gamer, but you mentioned your job became a job, right? It wasn't as interesting to you. It was like something you had to do, but you saw this YouTube video that was your job. Why did that capture you? Why did it capture you?
It captured me because it was like something that I had never, ever seen before and didn't know existed. And the fact that I watched Jeff having so much fun with it, you know, it really like breathed new life into it for me. Because when you do something for so long, you start getting in a routine. You start to not appreciate the why you got into something in the first place. And then when I watched him, I was like, I got to get this. You know, it was just clicked. So got American Truck Simulator.
So you got the game.
Mm-hmm.
You're still working full time. Like what are you, when back in your shoes, what are you working at this point? Because I imagine the hours are pretty long as a truck driver.
Yeah, well, when I became a local truck driver, I'm not going to say who I worked for, but it was a company where I did have, you know, I was only working like 10 hours a day. So I did have some spare time, you know, 5 days a week. So I had my week, you know, I had like a couple days off, and that's when I got into it. You know, I wasn't on the road at that point. This was about, I want to say about 3 or 4 years ago. That was the first time I got, it was about 3 years ago when I got my first PC. So
you were inspired to pick up the game. You're working a pretty normal kind of 9-to-5-ish work week, like 40 to 50 hours a week.
It was overnights, but yeah, you could call it that. It was a routine.
Yeah. You got the game. So playing the game is one thing and falling in love with the game. How did you get into the actual making content side of it? And at what point did that happen? So you got the game, you'd never made content before. How did you get into making content?
Well, there was a bit of a transition there because When I first got my gaming laptop, I was actually playing on a laptop. And playing a truck sim on a laptop is a little tricky.
I feel like playing any game on a laptop is hard.
Yes, it was a little, you know, $700 HP I picked up at Best Buy. It wasn't very powerful. I think it had like a 1050 Ti in it. And I was playing truck sim on it, which you know, the cool thing about American Truck Sim is you don't need a powerful PC to play it. So I just hooked up to my TV and I actually built a, I wish I would have thought of it. I would have popped it up on screen, but I built a little chair and stand to hook a wheel up to. So I'm sitting in front of my TV with my wheel on this little, like, it looked like a coffee table with like a chair hooked to it, you know, like with mounted to it. It was a little gamer chair. So I was just sitting there playing on my TV. And that kind of led to me. I started taking pictures of that because other people, I joined some Facebook groups for American Truck Simulator. And I saw all these people showing their setups and stuff like that. And I was like, you know, I was like, I kind of want to share this. So I posted some pictures and it was very well received. People were like, oh, I never saw somebody make their own setup, you know, and the ones I have seen are very bad and yours actually looks pretty good. And I was like, oh, cool. So just sharing with the community and seeing how awesome the community was to me kind of kept that ball rolling. It you know, the positivity in the simulator community was unlike nothing I've ever seen. Like I joined Call of Duty groups and there's a lot of toxicity there. And I don't really jive well with toxicity. I like positivity. So it was very well received in those simulation groups. So I just kept rolling with it. I started getting into flight sims, other simulation games spawning from that, joining those groups, talking to those people. And I don't know if you want to say anything, but then the streaming thing, that was kind of like a spark. So if you want to get into that, we could get into that. But
absolutely. Like, so you posted pictures, but were you making any VOD content, like video, or did you go?
No.
I feel like it's a big jump to go from just playing to streaming. And posting pictures is one thing, but to streaming is a whole nother level.
Well, the community, streaming is the basis, the foundations of a lot of communities and bringing people together. And that's sort of what inspired me because I saw the community there. On Facebook, there were two people streaming American Truck Simulator and both of them never kind of topped 30 concurrent viewers.
Yep.
So I saw something there. I saw like an opening there. And I was like, nobody's doing this. And people really like the stuff that I'm putting out there. So originally what I wanted to do was I wanted to be a part of a friend of mine. I'm not going to name his name because he'll know who he is, but I want to be a part of my friend of mine's stream. He was a streamer on Twitch and he always had his friends over. He always looked like he was having the most fun in the world. You know, they would do like, you know, stupid little Twitch drinking games and just all this fun stuff that I really wanted to be included in. And every time I asked him, like, hey buddy, you know, can I come over and like be on your stream? And he'd be like, yeah, sure. And I never got a phone call.
Oh.
I was like, you know what? I was like, I'm going to do my own stream. And that was the spark. That was the motivation for me, was because my buddy wouldn't let me on his. So I just started my own up.
You got to thank your buddy. That seems like good.
Oh, I thank him all the time. Thank him all the time. Yeah.
So you were watching, you're watching Twitch at this point. So you'd done YouTube, you watched a couple of videos there, but you started watching Twitch. You were familiar with live streaming and you'd seen a couple of people had it on Facebook and you were like, I can give that a try. How did you make sense of all the gear? Because I've seen your setup and I know it was probably a process to getting to where you are.
Of course.
But simulation streaming is not, I'm not going to say like even just core live streaming is simple, but the comparison, the amount of stuff that's going on in your setup is a lot.
Yes. It's all just kind of try as you go. That's how it kind of went. When I first started streaming, like I said, I found that opening on Facebook. Nobody was doing it.
Yep.
There were a couple people, but so I just started doing it. I started posting my very amateur stream in the groups. All I had was literally, it's a Thrustmaster. It was a Thrustmaster T150 wheel, which is a base entry level wheel. It's the wheel that you get at Best Buy because it's the only one they have. I got that wheel. I had it. I had my little driving setup. And when I started streaming, it was right after I got my first computer after my laptop. So I had the technology to do it at this point. So that's when I started streaming. And like I said, all it was a wheel. I had a headset microphone. I didn't have any professional audio equipment. I didn't have any extras, just a wheel, the game. And that kind of went nowhere. I think I topped out at maybe 10 concurrent for the first literally 3 months of streaming that game, but I kept doing it.
Why did you keep doing it?
Because I love the game. And I loved literally whenever one person would pop into my chat, I love that feeling. Cause then you had a back and forth. Not only you're playing the game, but the game that you love, but you could talk about it with somebody. You know what I mean? So, and as anybody in the simulation realm knows with streaming, there's not always a lot of well-received comments. So people come in and they would be like, you know, they'd be like, what the heck is this? What the heck is this? And the fact that I actually got to tell them what this was and why it was so cool felt special to me.
That's really interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, most people, if you were getting sub 10 viewers for, you know, 3 months or 90 days, you'd be like, you know what? F this. This is not worth my time. I'm putting way too much money, time, effort into this. Why am I going to keep doing it? But you kept it up. And you're going to say, would you say that's down to passion? As you said?
Yeah. For the game, I'm a firm believer that as long as you love what you're doing, you know, it honestly depends on what your goals were. My goals at that time were never to be a big streamer. My only goal was to just kind of get that thrill of explaining what I'm doing to somebody at that time. That was my goal. And I never in a million years thought this would happen next. I never thought. So yeah, it was just something that wasn't even on the table for me to be a full-time streamer. Just not at that time.
When you started getting traction, what point was that? When did you go say, well, something's happening here? Because you've not been streaming. How long have you been streaming for now, Ryan?
I've been streaming for about a year and a half. I think it's exactly a year and a half now. Yeah.
And at what point in that year and a half do you go, well, something's happened? 3 months, you're sitting at 10 CV tops. What point when, like, oh my God, something's going on here?
Yeah, I started in October, I believe, of 2018. It was like October 5th of 2018, I think, or November, one of the two. My traction started January 28th. 2019. I remember the exact day. It was the day that Facebook, for whatever reason, I still don't know how it works, I got a boost. I had 10 people in. I look over, I had 300 people in. And I remember I was so scared of that moment that I stopped my stream.
Wow. It's that one moment you've been waiting for in your life too much.
Ever do that. If you are a streamer and that happens to you for the first time, do not do what I do. Go roll with it. But I got freaked out. I was like, I don't know how to handle 300 people watching me at once. And then I see the chat flood, like, what the heck is this game? What is this game? What is this? I've never seen this before. I'm just like, oh, it's like, oh man. So it was that day. It got boosted by Facebook, hit the algorithm. I don't know how it worked. I don't know if I got shared out. I didn't find any crazy shares or any raids or anything. So I think it was just luck. And after that, it never went down. I started my next stream, 300 people watching me. And it kept growing and growing and growing. And I went from the time I started streaming up until that point, I think I had 70 followers. I gained 70 followers in 3-4 months?
Yeah, 4 months.
And then after that, it was hundreds. And then the 1,000 mark a month later. And then boom, 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 boom. So
that is wild. So in a 4-month span.
And I'll give you a little insight into that. I don't know if this is a coincidence or not, but the day I got an expensive microphone was that day. So I don't know. I had a headset up until that point.
Let me just put my tinfoil hat on, right?
Yeah. I don't know if that's a conspiracy or not, but no, I got an Audio Technica 2020. It's not this mic, But I got an Audio Technica 2020 hooked up, and that stream was the stream that got boosted. I don't know if that had anything to do with it. But yeah, it was weird.
Did you have support from your family or significant other as this was going on? Like, when that moment was happening in early January, was there anyone else around you?
No. I was working nights, so I was doing this during the day while, like, literally everyone was at work. My girlfriend, my friends, family. This was something that I had found time to do that, you know, during an hour when most people were not really paying attention. So yeah, there was nobody even knew I was really doing it. Honestly, I didn't share it with my friends. The only people I shared it with were those groups I was in on Facebook. That was pretty much it.
So this was kind of your thing. It wasn't like you're trying to make it anything. It was your thing.
No,
that you were keeping yourself.
It was another way of me sharing my experience with the game. That's all it was. Yeah.
Cool. What were some of the challenges you faced early on?
Well, I didn't have a lot, you know, I was working full time, but at the time I didn't really want to put a lot of money into it. And as anyone knows, you know, as you grow as a streamer, you know, it's kind of natural that you're going to have to spend some money on equipment. You're going to have to upgrade, you know, people tend to go towards streams that look crisp, look good. That was kind of my struggle at the time was, do I really, you know, mentally I was like, do I really want to spend thousands of dollars just to kind of do the streaming thing? Because I wasn't about, you know, any kind of donations that were coming in. I wasn't getting a lot of that or anything. And I was just like, is it worth it? That was kind of the struggle. You know, how far do I want to take it? And I had no idea. I had no idea how far I went.
And what changed? Because I think a lot of people go through that. And you see a lot of early streamers who spend almost way too much money right at the start.
Yeah.
How did that change for you? Was it based on, you know, results that you were seeing?
Yes.
Were you investing, like, I was making X so I could put in Y? Or was it like, I can see this, if I plot out a couple of months, I can put more money in?
No, it wasn't. I was making... So I think what actually helped me at the beginning... And I don't know if this was a good idea or not, but I like doing it. I did weekly giveaways, and not just $10 gift cards. I was giving away steering wheels. That's what I was using my donations for. So any stars on Facebook that were coming in were going straight to going towards giveaways. And I was giving away a lot of stuff. And I think people kind of, were looking at me a little different back then, because I think a lot of streamers, they looked at it as a way to make money, whereas I was just giving all that back. And I think people did appreciate that. And basically I was using, so I was seeing how much was coming in. I was putting it into giveaways, but then I realized, like, I am making enough for this. Even though I was still using my own money to buy the equipment. But I was like, you know, this will pay for itself eventually. So it was like kind of that.
And what was that transition for you going from part-time to full-time? And when did that happen? Because your things have happened really quickly for you, which is incredible.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for you. But if I look, October 2018 is when you started. January 2019, late January, is when you kind of got a bit of a pickup. From then, like, where did you go? I can go full-time now.
I started doing math, you know, I was like, because I didn't want to, that's the thing is, like, I really liked how things were going at the time. Because I was only streaming 3 days a week. I liked only streaming 3 days a week because that keeps content fresh. It gave me a day to prepare for my streams. And I honestly think that's what gave it a little boost as well, is I wasn't just turning on my computer and turning on my stream. I was setting up the scenario for the next day, and each day had a different theme. So it takes hours to set up a truck in American Truck Simulator sometimes. So I was spending time on that. You know, I wasn't using the same trucks every day. I wasn't using the same equipment. It was never the same stream. So I think where it started transitioning was about 6 months. I started doing some math, and I was like, the money I'm actually making is, you know, comparable to somebody, you know, who was a truck driver. Like, I was starting to make the same amount of money. And, you know, that's when I started doing some math, and I was like, you know, in January, I could probably go full time. And right then Facebook hit me with subscriptions, which you know how important those are. Those are a streamer's first steady source of income. So when they hit me with subscriptions, I saw how many people were subscribing like right off the bat. And I was like, yeah, this is something I could do. So.
And you made that decision to switch in. You were like, okay, I'm going to go. Did you ever think at any point to give up? To go, maybe this is not it?
No, because when things... So before, like I said, before, you know, things started really taking off, I was just having too much fun. Like it wasn't, I never got upset when people weren't watching. And I don't know if that's normal or not, you know, it probably isn't, but I wasn't ever getting upset. You know, I was just excited to talk on a microphone and have like four people listening. It was exciting for me. And honestly, it might still be, even if I was in the shoes I am now, but like I, you know, there was never anything bad. Like nothing ever went south for me until I was already full-time streaming and I took a week off. That was the only thing.
The dreaded week off when you're an online content creator and you take that week off.
I learned a harsh lesson. But we're kind of fast forwarding a little bit, but no, like nothing ever really wanted to. I never really wanted to stop at all. You know, I was just like, too many good things are happening. You know, I'm just going to keep going at it. And I know I'm lucky there, but it doesn't happen to everybody. A lot of people, they have to work and work and work. And I put in a lot of work, but for me, things were growing very quickly.
When things start to grow and you got that feedback loop and you're like, this is good. I like this. You're super excited. At this point, you're on a high. It's almost like a drug in a way, in the sense that you're just super, the energy is inside of you around this and you just can't wait to get started. Did you have other people around you that understood it, were supportive as it started to take off? Or were they like, you mean you've changed your entire room to be like purely about content creation.
Mm-hmm.
Were they supportive?
Like I said, I've always kind of been a lone wolf. Like it was, far as anything I've done in life, my friends all went to college. I went to become a truck driver. You know, they thought that was weird. So my family, you know, they were the same way. They wanted me to do a different thing in life. And I never listened to anybody. I just wanted to do my own thing. And a lot of truck drivers, if any truck drivers watch this podcast, they will relate to this. When you take that path in life, that's because you like being, you're very independent. If you want to go be a truck driver, you know, in your mind that you're going to work alone. You don't want a team. You don't need a team. That's how I've always been. So that's, I use the same mentality in streaming. You know, anybody that wants to support me, they can support me. If they don't, doesn't matter to me. You know, I'm going to do it anyway. So
how has your perspective changed in the last year and a half with streaming? How has it evolved?
I've always been a huge fan of streamers ever since I discovered Twitch, you know, years ago. I really respected what they do because I always thought I could never do that. Never. I looked at Twitch streamers and I was like, how does somebody sit there and entertain people on a camera and just be a joy to watch for hours? Like it fascinated me. And my perspective changed whenever I started having people watching me. And I was like, and I still can't believe, I honestly, even a year and a half later, I still can't believe that people want to tune in and watch me, even with all the positive feedback and the negative. There's negative, of course, but I still can't, you know, it's mind blowing. Like, the fact that you can go on camera and just, you know, do what you love, play what you love, and people want to watch that. I would say I get it now, but I don't. I really don't fully understand how this whole thing works. But like I said, it's the most exciting thing I've ever done. It's the best thing I've ever done in my life. It's completely changed my life. I no longer have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and get in a truck every day and be exhausted, you know? So it's really, like every day I sit back and I realize how lucky I am. I really am.
That's awesome. I'm glad you're so grateful for it. Does that make you work harder?
Yes. Yes. And like I said, I might not be getting up at 2 a.m. anymore, but I am working way harder than I did when I was driving a truck. Yeah. This is a way harder job. Definitely. Yeah.
How does it feel to be in control of your own destiny, your own future, career-wise?
In control, I feel like I'm always playing catch up. I'll be honest with you. I feel like, you know, I'm always trying to come up with stuff that I think people will like to watch. And that is super fun. I got to say, it's so fun to like be behind the scenes of things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. Yeah. Like to be behind the scenes and like be working on something that, you know, people are going to tune in later and enjoy. It's, I don't know. There's something about it.
That dovetails that question I want to ask you, which was, you're a full-time content creator now. The expectations of your community are, you know, being there every day and entertaining them. How do you stay on top and if not ahead when there's so much expectations on you to create so much content? How do you then like stay on top of the trends, like be a thought leader and like what's next? And because people look to you now, like you're the, you know, at least on Facebook, the leader in simulation streaming. So how do you keep up with the industry outside of your own stream?
I've actually been pretty lucky. Well, being full-time helps because when you don't have to go to work, you could spend a lot more time, you know, you could be there for those moments when a game drops. You could be there whenever, you know, people kind of expect that from you at that point. You know, when like I'll give an example, a game called SnowRunner just dropped a couple of days before we recorded this, and actually dropped yesterday, the day before we recorded this. And I was able to get early access to that game. I played it for about a week beforehand, got about 30 hours in. So I knew that game before I streamed it. And that's kind of how I do it. I have support from some really good publishers. And as American Truck Simulator's developer, they were in my stream yesterday. They've been super amazing at, you know, giving me news when it happens. You know, I get an email when something happens and I can relay it to my community. So those types of things help big time. But you got to do research. I mean, people can feed me all the information I want, but if I'm not looking at it and digesting it and comparing it to other things out there, you know, that's useless. That's meaningless. So yeah, you just have to look it up. You have to be aggressive.
How much, looking at your setup today, and I've had a bit of behind the scenes look at it, it's super comprehensive. How much of your understanding of being a truck driver for 15 years parlayed into how competent you are with all of the moving PCs for live streaming?
He called me competent. That's a good one.
I mean, I've seen more than competent, an expert. Because most people are like flailing around, but I feel like you've got it together.
Well, I kind of flail around. So here's the thing with that. I do know trucking. I do know the trucks. I'm able to talk about that kind of stuff. I can relate to real truck drivers. But as far as my driving, I don't know how many streams of mine you've seen, but I get in a few accidents here and there on the game.
Few wrecks, yep.
And when I say a few, it's you know, it's in the teens and 20s. But yeah, so, you know, but that comes along with paying attention to the chat. I think the chat does get a kick out of that as well. I've actually turned that basically into one of the keystones of my content is screwing up. And when you're a streamer, people know when you're doing something on purpose. You can't hide. There's no hiding as a streamer. You put the real you out or you're not going to, you know. Some people can act really good. I can't act good. Okay. So that stuff is real. And people like, I think they love that when somebody really screws up something and it's not just a show or an act and they really are in that moment with you. It's amazing. It's something very unique. So yeah, I'm not super competent as far as the driving is concerned. But as far as the technology is concerned, that just came with time. Over time, I built up my setup. I got a switch box, like a button box, for like all the truck control switches, more advanced wheels, shifters. So I already knew how to shift a real truck. So when I got all that stuff, it's like, it was like second nature. The simulation aspect of those games is spot on. I mean, you shift the game like you shift a real truck. So naturally, it just walked right into that.
That's really interesting, because I know I speak with a few like FPS players, for example, and some of the expectations, if you're streaming, you should be good at the FPS. And it's very hard if you, like, for some people went from like a console playing FPS to a PC playing FPS, the jump's quite big. And then like learning how to use the mouse. But it's so interesting how you mentioned what happens IRL for truck driving translates almost one-to-one to what you're doing in the game. So I would guess that would go for a lot of simulation streamers. If you did that in real life, it would translate almost one-to-one to what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm good friends with another streamer who used to do excavating, and we play Farm Sim together. He has his setup like an excavator, and he controls it like it's second nature. And to watch him do that is quite amazing, because I could never do that. I never ran an excavator. And he's sitting there with his two joysticks, like, you know, going back and forth, operating a crane and Farm Simulator like a complete pro. And I'm just sitting there like, you know, like, you're amazing, but I couldn't do that. You know, that it does. It translates from the simulation games. If you're good at something in real life, you'll probably be good at it in that game. And pilots too, like flight sims and stuff like that.
How much, one of the things you brought up earlier was going on Facebook and this magical moment where the algorithm picked up. And this is not unique to Facebook. It's actually most platforms. There's this just moment. And some people say it's luck, but you also put yourself in that situation to, you know, be lucky. How much do you attribute it to being on Facebook versus another platform, like starting out on YouTube or starting out on Twitch?
Oh, Facebook. There's no way I could have done what I did on any other platform. And I'll tell you why, is because a lot of people that watch my stream never watched a stream before. They're not gamers. They're not on Twitch. They might be on YouTube, but they're not on Mixer. They're not on, you know, they're people that somehow, you know, got sent to my stream that found it. Truck drivers, mechanics, I'm not going to typecast anybody, but I'm just saying, like, people that had an interest in the things I was playing, but weren't necessarily looking for a gaming stream, if you know what I mean. And Facebook is real good at putting stuff in front of you like that. So yes, huge, huge help. Definitely.
It makes sense. Facebook. I think there's a good lesson in that for those listening is, you know, when you're looking for a platform or a game to stream, is really thinking about, you know, why would people, or who are those people that would be there? To watch your content. And I think you're a prime example of being in the right place at the right time with the right content that people want. You've been in the game now for a year and a half. You're full time. It's just the beginning. You've had phenomenal growth over the last, you know, year and a half. You've got over 100,000 followers, like well over that now. And it just seems like you're going strength to strength. The Facebook platform itself is growing. It's getting better and better. I was there working on it many, many years ago, and it's a lot better now than it was then. What are you working towards? What's getting you excited in terms of the next 3, 6, 12, or even years?
Well, the community keeps growing, which is incredible. It's not just me on Facebook anymore. There are a ton of simulation streamers now, and a ton of them. Now, they all kind of started streaming on Facebook, you know, maybe a few months ago, but they're growing exponentially as well. There's a couple of guys who I'm friends with, and what's cool about this is, like, we're all kind of friends, you know. Like, I talk to all, I don't care how many followers you have, you know, it doesn't matter to me. What matters is, are you a good person or not, and do we have similar interests? So I talk to a lot of the other streamers on Facebook, and it really is. We hop in each other's chats, and it's all the same community, which is so cool. And I think building, it doesn't matter, you know, how many streamers do it. We're all one big community. And I think that is strengthening it for each individual streamer as well. I think if somebody could go into somebody else's chat and say, hey, Riotstream did this and not feel like an outcast, then it makes everybody feel like a big group of friends. So, and then we are, you know, everybody on, you know, Facebook is a great place to grow. You know, you get, and I'm not going to say just because I'm not going to say anything bad about Twitch or anything, but Facebook, I think you get a lot more people being very real because there's not that same culture there is on Twitch either. If you've ever seen anybody's chat moving 1,000 miles per hour on Twitch, you know what I mean. People are having more conversations, you know, and people, I just think it's a lot easier to chat on Facebook as well. So I think the community really has connected over a lot of that stuff.
What do you want to do that you're, that you can share? Cause I know some of it you'd like to kind of tease out for the community, over time, but what do you look forward to in terms of the growth of your setup, the growth of your content? Is there any big milestones that you want to hit?
I feel like I'm always playing catch up with streaming as far as what I want to do next, because I'm still like kind of blown away at what has happened already. I look at, you know, my setup and I don't even know how I built it. I'm just like, what the heck is this? But, you know, it's little steps. I mean, this applies, I think, to big streamers and little streamers alike. Upgrading one piece of equipment at a time. I think maybe just something as far as like getting more professional cameras is kind of my goal right now. You know, because I still have Logitechs. I kind of want to upgrade that stuff. I want to get a better mixer. It's little things that I think will help improve the stream. I think if you try to go too big all at once, you might get overwhelmed. And that's how I've always been. So that's why I've always been the kind of guy that just adds one piece at a time. So that's just what I'm looking forward to, is one piece at a time.
I think that's a great motto. Try not overwhelm yourself. Is there anything you tell yourself? Got a lot of new streamers listening. Is there anything you'd have told yourself back then when you were first starting in October 2018?
Quit your job a little earlier, I guess. I don't know, because I feel like, you know, I had no idea it was coming, man. It slapped me in the face. It really did. And if I would have told myself, hey, you're going to be a full-time streamer in a year, I would have been like, who the heck is this guy? You know? So I don't really know. I think, I just feel like I was very lucky, man, because there's a lot of people that are doing what I do, you know, and I just feel like I was in the right place in the right time. And, you know, I think if I would have went back and had anything to say myself, I'd be like, you're doing the right thing. Keep at it. But I don't know if I needed that motivation either. So it's kind of hard to say.
I think you're doing really kick ass. And I think your work ethic shows, your discipline, your enthusiasm definitely comes across. And every time I've interacted with you, it's one of the qualities that I love about you, is how enthusiastic you are about your specific genre and your community. I think it's a testament, and it's why you're being so successful. And I think it's why you'll continue to be so successful, is that enthusiasm that you have.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Raya, it was great to get to know you better and learn about your journey to where you are today. I would love to know where people can find you so that those that are listening can go check you out, because they definitely should.
Yeah, facebook.com/RiaStream. That's my main hub. I keep it simple. I don't have a ton of platforms. I haven't Instagram, I post some pictures on, and a YouTube channel that is kind of a backup thing, but just facebook.com/RiaStream. That's where you can find me.
Cool. Well, you heard it, folks. Thanks, Ryan. This is great.
Thank you so much. I had a blast talking to you, Steven.